This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 9th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, commentator Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. With its mostly African-American supporters looking on, the Champaign School Board said no last night to a proposed charter school for elementary school boys struggling in regular classes. But the teacher behind the idea says she'll seek funding for her proposal elsewhere. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The Unit 4 School Board voted 6-1 to reject the proposal from Andrea Carter, a teacher at Dr. Howard School. Last month, the school board had asked for more details on the charter school idea, and Carter outlined them last night. But Unit 4 School Board President Margie Skirvin said the new information still failed to answer questions about curriculum, staffing, and other issues, and came on too short a notice.
The real issue is trusting our children and our money to other people. And there were so many loose ends, so it was so loosey-goosey that I just felt that I didn't feel comfortable with this tonight.
Carter plans to appeal to the Illinois State Board of Education, but doesn't expect them to overrule the Unit 4 School Board. But she says her school for boys struggling in regular classes could still open with outside funding.
The other option is we do have a lot of money on the table where we can actually use another resource to fund this program. Mm-hmm. So the school will come to fruition this year.
Nathaniel Banks cast the only vote for the charter school proposal. His own charter school proposal was rejected by an earlier Unit 4 school board in 2001. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The city of Urbana has a new contract with its 39 public works and police services workers. The Urbana City Council ratified the new four-year contract last night, hours after AFSCME Local 1331 did the same. Chief Administrative Officer Bruce Walden says the new contract provides raises of 3% the first year, 3.25% for both the second and third years, and 3.5% the fourth year. The contract is retroactive to July 1st of last year, when the previous contract expired. The president of the University of Illinois says an ambitious online project remains on track with a few changes. Joseph White says the Global Campus Initiative has sparked concern among some faculty members who say offering an extensive number of courses over the Internet could cut into the U of I's quality and prestige. To alleviate some of those worries, White says faculty will be given more quality assurance oversight over the courses, and all global campus programs will be assigned an academic partner from one of the three U of I campuses. He hopes it clears the way for the Board of Trustees to approve the project.
I hope that we can get a full Board of Trustees green light at our March meeting, and we have a lot of work to do between now and then, so it's full steam ahead.
One other change would make the Global Campus Partnership a unit of the U of I itself. Initial plans called for it to be a limited liability corporation. White says it wouldn't impact the project's cost or revenue. He says the anticipated $25 million a year in revenue would help bolster the university in a time when state support is uncertain. Illinois State University Provost John Presley will step down next year to join the school's faculty. The 58-year-old Presley said yesterday that the move is purely personal and also reflects his desire to spend more time on research and writing projects. ISU President Al Bowman said Presley has led efforts to promote both learning and civic engagement among the school's 20,000 students during his nearly 4 years at ISU. Bowman said a nationwide search for a new provost will begin immediately. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says he won't slow down during his second term. He says his reelection was a mandate for action. Sean Crawford has more.
As the governor took the oath of office in Springfield for a second time, he repeated his pledge to change how government works. The Chicago Democrats so far done that with a strong-handed governing style that's often rankled lawmakers in both parties and led to strained relationships with the state's legislature. But Blagojevich offered no apologies.
There are some today who say this is a time to slow down, have a less ambitious agenda the second time around. Why not just go along and get along? Well, the voters expect something else.
The governor says as he begins his second term, his focus will be on continuing to expand access to health care and closing business tax loopholes. But details were sparse. Blagojevich's most pressing issue is a new state budget. He'll propose a spending plan in the next several weeks. Along with paying for the expensive programs he launched in his first term, the governor will have to find more revenue in order to get any new plans off the ground. And he's made it clear he won't raise the income or sales taxes. I'm Sean Crawford.
Bloomington-based State Farm Fire and Casualty Company is negotiating a multi-million-dollar settlement in Mississippi on thousands of lawsuits and other disputed policyholder claims from Hurricane Katrina. State Farm lawyers met with Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood recently to discuss a possible settlement. The settlement would resolve a civil lawsuit Hood filed against the company for refusing to cover damage from Katrina's storm surge almost 16 months ago. A mass settlement would be the first of its kind to follow the wave of litigation spawned by Katrina. Since St. Mary of the Woods College was founded in 1840, it's always been led by a nun. Now that's about to change. Three laypeople have been named as finalists for the job to replace Sister Joan Lisinski as president of the school. She has announced that she will step down in June. The three finalists for the job are David Bears of Dominican University of California in San Rafael, Sharon Smith of National University in La Jolla, California, and Doris Teggart of Bellarmine University in Louisville, Kentucky. St. Mary of the Woods has about 1,700 students. Its residential campus near Terre Haute is for women only. The French nun who founded the school in 1840 was elevated to sainthood last year. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Despite the recent Colorado snowstorms, commentator Amy Guida has her heart set on winning a vacation home there. Only two things stand in her way: other contestants and the word's sole discretion. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I'm trying to win a vacation house. It's a beauty, tucked in the mountains of Colorado and furnished with all sorts of dream stuff. Sure, the house is a $1 million prize that would prove taxing, in the Uncle Sam sense of that word. I want it anyway. But just because I want the Colorado dream house doesn't mean that I'll win it, even if my name is the first drawn from the hopper. That's because contests aren't always decided by fate alone. Sometimes the grand prize winner must be grand in every sense of that word. Take the current house contest. If an obsessed entrant, say me, clicks on a button labeled Rules on the contest website, she will find the standard stuff about no liability on the part of the promoter and the promoter's right to use the winner's image for all eternity as part of a space-visible corn maze. But then there's this curious clause. Main sponsor reserves the right to conduct a background check on any potential prize winner and reserves the right in its sole discretion to disqualify any person based on such background check if main sponsor determines in its sole discretion that awarding the prize to such potential prize winner might reflect negatively on main sponsor or any of the participating product sponsors. Astute listeners will alert upon the double use of the phrase sole discretion. That's where a lawyer's ears certainly perk up. The contest clause in lay terms means that the sponsors want to check your rap sheet and make certain that your corn maze appropriate before naming you the new owner of the dream house. If you or any of your family members robbed a bank or pillaged a village in the last, oh, say, 1,500 years, don't count your dream homes before they unlatch. Whether you measure up is left to the sponsor's sole discretion. Sole discretion packs a lot of punch. Sure, it's not always the abracadabra of contract law, and if a sponsor's decision to reject a contestant is based on fraud or some other wrongdoing, courts will side with a contest's initial winner-turned-loser. But otherwise, judges allow plenty of wiggle room when those running the contest decide where and when to release the balloon-carrying prize clowns. We need look no further than the television program Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and the planetary phenomenon that is NASCAR for interpretive assistance. Here's what courts have decided in the past. Game show contestants must accept the producer's question-answer combinations, even when those combinations aren't worded as precisely as they could be. And race car drivers must accept the judgment of the one who holds the ultimate checkered flag. all because the game show and race car contestants agreed in advance to the powerful authority of phrases like sole discretion and final determination. Which brings me to my second obsession of late, the Bravo television program Top Chef, where culinary contestants battle it out by cooking under extremely unnerving circumstances. At least one contestant faces elimination each week, banishment from the kitchen island based on the judgment of expert taste testers, or so it would seem. If you watch closely, at the end of the program, for just a few seconds, the screen reads, "Winning and elimination decisions were made by the judges in consultation with the producers. Some elimination decisions were discussed with Bravo." Presentation counts, it seems, and not only on the plate. Chefs whose star quality is confined entirely to the kitchen meet the fillet of sole discretion. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect partly sunny conditions, breezy and colder today, the high 34 degrees. The wind northwesterly at 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 35. Clear and colder tonight with a low of 20 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, the high back up to 42 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.